Baruchim Abayim Rabbi Yisrael, welcome back to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Lech Lecha. As always, it's a tremendous chus to be able to learn the Parsha and hope that not only will we have additional insights and chedushim and things that inspire us on Parshas HaShavua, but to enhance our Shabbos Kodesh. Share it with somebody at your Suda, share it with somebody in Shul, tell it over to somebody, and let's bring an added dimension of Kedusha to our Shabbos Kodesh by sharing the words from Parsha Insights, Parsha Lech Lecha. Once again, the shiur is sponsored this week, L'Zeicha Nishmas, Ula Ili Nishmas, Rebecca Basarina, and Leon Ben Rachel, their Neshama Tahira Zohabin, a lichtige Gan Eden. If anybody in the Heichal, anybody listening now live, or anybody listening to the recording would like to sponsor any shiur on any given week, feel free to contact us and partake in a tremendous amount of Zikli HaRabim. Open up in Parshas Lech Lecha to Perek Tezvav Pasuk Hey. The Ribbono Shel Olam is telling Avram Avinu to go outside and count the stars if you're able to. I referenced this 2 weeks ago at your Einikol's Bar Mitzvah from 17 years earlier, and I want to share part of that pshat, which is a tremendous pshat. Let's learn the Pasuk inside. Tezvav Hey. The Ribbono Shel Olam took Avram Avinu outside and told him, Habetna HaShemayma, gaze towards the heavens, Usfar HaKechovim Imtuchal, and count the stars if you're able to count them. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Vayomer lo ko yezarecha, so shall your offspring Klal Yisrael be, meaning like the stars. I'd like to dedicate tonight's shiur to multiple pshatim and what it means that Klal Yisrael is compared to Kechavim. It's a term that we use very often, but what does it mean that we are compared to Kechavim? Firstly, to begin, the word Kechav is an interesting word. It's spelled Chaf Vav, Chaf Vez. Now that's very interesting because the Chaf Vav is 26, and 26 is a reference, of course, to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yud with a hey, vav and a hey is the gematria of 26. The last two letters of Kechav is a chof and a vez, which is 22, and that's a reference to the Torah, which is, of course, hundreds of thousands of letters, but coming from the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. So right away, etymologically, we see that we're compared to a star. And a star, as we said a moment ago, is a kechav, chav vav, chav vez. Right away in those four letters we see from the first two, which I said was 26, a reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam, which again, yud and hey with a vav and a hey is bigamatri 26. And the final two letters, a chav and a vez, is 22, referencing, of course, the entirety of the Torah, which although it's hundreds of thousands of letters, is based on the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. So there's something inherent within the kochah, within the star, within the yid, that has within him the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Torah HaKadosha. It's very similar. We know the Chazal that tell us, Yisrael v'eiraisa v'kutcha berichu chadu. It happens to be a beautiful song as well. Believe it or not, before it was a song, it was actually a quote from Chazal. I know sometimes today, with such a proliferation of wonderful songs, when it's hard to tell which came first. Chazal first said it before it turned into an extraordinary song, Yisrael v'eiraisa v'kutcha berichu chadhu, the unity of the Yid, Hashem, and his Torah chadhu all being one. Rabbi Yisai, don't we see a fulfillment of that Maimer Chazal in a Yid, in a Kochav? Because Kochav, we just said, represents the Jew, as the Ribbono Shel Olam told Avraham Avinu, Ko yezarecha, you are the Kechav, you the Jew are the star. And we've already explained twice that within the Kechav, I see from the first two letters, the Ribbono Shel Olam, and from the last two letters, the Torah HaKadosha. So within the star, within the Jew, I see a combobulation of all three. Is that not what Chazal mean when they say, Yisrael, V'oiraisa v'kutcha berichu chadhu. It all comes together when the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you and you and I, us, all of us, we are all a koich of a star. For within the Yid, there's the Ribbono Shel Olam and his Torah. I was thinking, before we go on to other explanations, maybe we could use this powerful pshat that we said to help us with the pshat from the Meshech Chochma. Reb Meir Simcha Kain of Dvinsk says something, and I must tell you, it's a very powerful pshat. Unfortunately, for those who at times may have been involved in Machloikas, we know the truth of the pshat that Reb Meir Simcha says. So maybe the answer lies in the pshat that we said a moment ago about the power of being a koichav. Take a look at Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Vav. Yud Gimel Vav. We're learning about the machloikis that took place between the shepherds of Avram and the shepherds of Lot. And the Pasuk tells us in Yud Gimel Vav, the land couldn't support and allow them to dwell together. Why not? Because they had a tremendous amount and their possessions were abundant. And then look at the next few words of the Pasuk as the Pasuk concludes. Once again, the same words are repeated, that they were not able to dwell together. Frecht of Meir Simcha, now looking at the Pasuk, you might think it's an obvious kasha. You already told me in the opening words that they weren't able to dwell together. Why are you ostensibly repeating the exact same words a few words later? Once again, the Pasuk says, well, Yachlu Hashavas Yachlam. If you're not looking inside, look inside. You'll see it far more clear. Mamish, the same words are repeated twice within the very Pasuk, the opening words and the closing words. They were not able to dwell together. Why repeat those words? Reb Meir Simcha tells us something so powerful, and we know, if we've chalila been involved in Machloikas, the truth of what he teaches us. Sometimes a Machloikas, the quarrel between two people or two groups begins, and everyone is fighting for what they perceive as their correct or their rightful position, and they truly believe that they are correct in this machlokes. But unfortunately, as it starts with their fight for justice, it continues to escalate, to spiral out of control, and to snowball until it becomes that they're quarreling just l'shem machlokes. In fact, it reaches a point that if you'd ask the two sides, what was the original argument about? Very often they can't even answer. I don't know, it was so long ago. But it just escalated and escalated, and it involved now other members of the family and the children and different generations. The machlokes is so out of control. That's literally the pshat, by the way, in sinas chinam. Sinas chinam means the sin of the hostility, chinam without a cause. You see, when this started, at least they claimed there was a cause. There was a justification. They understood that they were fighting for their rightful position. But now, weeks later, months later, years later, when the children are involved and everybody's taking sides, it reaches the point that they don't even know what the original machlokes was about. It doesn't even involve the same people. Zoktiv Meir Simcha HaKayein, that's how to read this pasuk. Look at it inside. It's a powerful and frightening pshat. The Torah tells us that that they were not able to dwell together. The land couldn't support them. And the Torah gives the reason why. Because their wealth was great. So maybe that's how the machlokes started. And why the machlokes started. But eventually it could come to the point where at sinas chinam, it's hostility without a cause, others are involved, it's generations later, and nobody even remembers what was the reason for the original machlokes, and that's why the pasuk concludes once again with the words, v'lo yachul l'shevas yachta, they weren't able to dwell together, but for no reason at all. In answer to the question, why are the same words repeated twice? Zokter Meir Simcha Akayin, the first time the Pasuk says it, it tells you how the Machlekes started, why it started, because the wealth was great. Now that you're past that, the Torah wants to tell you the reality of Machlekes is that sometimes it continues to spiral and spiral so out of control that the original reason is long forgotten. It's way in the rearview mirror, and already the others don't even know. They just know one thing, they're supposed to be Machlekes. Why? That I honestly don't remember. And that's indicated by the Pasuk repeating the words V'layochlo Sheves Yachtov, but there it doesn't give a reason why the earth and the land couldn't support and allow them to dwell together, because Machlekes reaches a point where indeed the reason no longer exists. But what does exist is, I know we're supposed to have Machlekes. Maybe that brings us to the opening shot we said about the Koichov, the star. Our job as a star is to unite, to bring together. As we said already, inherent in the word Koichov is Yisrael, the Eiraisa, the Kucha Berichu Chazu. Inherently built within every Yid is the ability to unite. Within him, there's the Chalik of the Ribbono Shel Olam, as indicated by the 26th of the Chav Vav. There's the Chalik of the Torah HaKdoshah, which is the Chav Beis, the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. Chazu, it all comes together in a beautiful, beautiful unity. It's really based on a pshat that we said on a number of occasions. Forgive me for repeating the pshat, but I just feel that it ties in so well with the pshatim that we've said that even though some of us may remember it very well, it's worth repeating. It's based on the zemer that some sing Friday night, where at the end of the zemer it says, Bevovin tiskata. Bevovin tiskata literally means with the vovs, there's tiskata, a keteris, a beautiful aroma. That's a reference to the Lechel Aponim. We know every Shabbos there were six breads on one column, six breads on another column. Bivovin, with the six breads on the left and the right, Tiskata, from the Lechem Aponim, the beautiful aroma ascends. There's an extraordinary pshat brought down. There's another way to understand. Tiskata also means to bind and to tie together. What is it, Bivovin, about the letter Vav that has the ability to bring together? Every letter in the Aleph Beis is spelled out as a word. A person has the letter Aleph, but as a word, Aleph, it's spelled Aleph Lamed Fei. How does one spell out as a word the letter Vav? Vav can be spelled three ways. Vav is either Vav Vav, Vav Aleph Vav, or Vav Yud Vav. All would be correct. Vav Vav is the gematria of 12. Vav Aleph Vav is the gematria of 13. Vav Yud Vav is the gematria of 22. What does that mean, that the three ways of spelling the letter Vav as a word equals 12, or 13, or 22? 12 is a reference to the Yid, because we know there were Yud Beis Shvatim. 13 could be a reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam, although earlier we explained it as 26, but 13 is as well, because we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Echad is spelled Aleph Ches Dal, which is the gematria of 13. And 22, we already said, is a reference to the Torah. So the letter Vav is so extraordinary and unique that within the Vav, when it's spelled out as a word, sometimes it's 12, sometimes 13, sometimes 22. When it's Vav of 12, that's a reference to the Shvatim Klal Yisrael. When it's Vav Aleph of 13, that's a reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. When it's 22, that's a reference to the Torah, which is the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, and that's indeed what Chazal mean, Yisrael, v'ayraisa v'kutcha b'richu chadhu, it's all indicated in the letter Vav. Bivav and Tiskatar now takes on the meaning that the letter Vav binds us together. The letter Vav is the letter of unity, Rabbi Isai. In fact, if you take a look in the Mishkan, one of the items in the Mishkan were vavin, vaveyem. What were they? The hooks that connected. So we see the power of the letter vav. It's the ability to connect, the ability to unite, the antithesis of the machlokes of the sinas chinam that we addressed a few moments ago. That's the kaichov, that's the star. We have that ability. In fact, I once suggested perhaps, if you take a look, there's a Rashi that tells us in Chumash, Yaakov Avinu's name is normally spelled Yud Ayin Kuvvez. Surprisingly, there are five times in the Torah it spells with a Vav. Yud Ayin Kuvvez. Look at Rashi. The word Eliyahu is spelled Aleph Lamed Yud Hey Vav, but there are five times that it's spelled without the Vav. If somebody tells you and quotes the Pasuk, Hine Anoichi Sheleach Lechem Es Eliyahu Anovi, stop them and tell them, you're not reading the Pasuk inside because there's no Vav. The Navi says, Hine Anoichi Sheleach Lechem Es Eliyahu Hanavi, there is no Vav in that Pasuk. Zok Rashi, when Mashiach comes, the letter Vav will go from Yaakov Avinu the five times back to Eliyahu the five times. In other words, the five times that Yaakov has the Vav, each of those Vavs will be returned to Eliyahu, so it becomes Eliyahu HaNavi. And I always wondered, why is the letter that's being exchanged the letter Vav? Why is the letter in the times of Mashiach that's being exchanged from Yaakov Avinu to Eliyahu HaNavi the letter Vav? Maybe with the pshat we just said, we could explain so beautifully because Vav represents the unity. Vav represents the antithesis of Sinas Chinam. The Beis HaMikdash was Chorav. The Batei HaMikdash were destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. The antithesis would be Avas Chinam. That's the letter Vav. That's the letter Vav. Yisrael, Vayinaisa Bekutcha Berichu Chadu. Like the Vav in the Vaveyan and the Mishkan, it's the ability to connect, the ability to unite. As it says Friday night in Zmiris, Vav and Tiskatar will be bound together forever because of the three definitions of the letter Vav. In order for Mashiach to come, we have to reverse the Sinas Chinam and replace it with Avas Chinam. Oy, Mayrav Erabaisai, when we adequately learn that lesson, Rashi says Yaakov Avinu will take the Vav out of his name, specifically the Vav. Yes, Rabbeisai, specifically the Vav, because the Vav represents the letter of unity. The Vav represents Yisrael Vayreis Vekutcha Berichu Chadu, and give it back to Eliyahu. Hine Anoichi Sheleach Lechem Es Eliyahu HaNavi. That's why I believe it's specifically the letter Vav. For Vav represents the Avas Chinam, which will bring about the Gula Shalema, and that letter specifically will go from Yaakov to Eliyahu HaNavi. And I think that answers what the Meshech Chochma brought up. Sometimes the Machloikis and the Sinner reaches such epic proportions that you don't even remember the original cause. The good news is, every one of us are a Koichav, and as we said when we started this year, inherent in Koichav is the Chavav, which is the 26th of Kutcha Berichu, and Chavbeis, which is 22 of the Torah. In other words, we have the ability to unite. We have the ability to unite others and to bring people closer. You know the schus a person can get if they know someone or two people embroiled in a machlekes or involved in any type of dispute? And you could bring shalom bein adam lechaveray? Every morning we say all of the number of things that a person has the peiros in oilam hazev, akern kayem mesel oilam abo, the last one that we mentioned, the Zachashkenaz. Havah shalom bein adam lechaveray. You could behave like the letter vav? You could behave like a kaich of a shining star? Then you'll be able to reverse the Siva and the cause of the Golos. And that power of Koichav is inherent to live b'shalom and to make peace. Step up and make peace where a person's able to. That's mamish earning the title of a brilliant and shining Koichav star. There's another pshat brought down why Klal Yisrael is compared to a koichav. It's actually from the Halakha Divrei Chaim. Perhaps it's a well-known pshat. It's a beautiful pshat. He says the analogy to a star, if a person takes a look at a star from this world, from the earth where we are, a star seems so minuscule. You could see a star. Yet we know that when a person's in close proximity to the star, or certainly when they're above the stars and able to look at them, the size is actually remarkable beyond anything we could comprehend. So great is the quantitative size of a star. Zok the Divrei Chaim, that's true about every yid. No one should think that they are minuscule or meaningless or inconsequential. This past Shabbos Kodesh in our morning drasha, we spoke out in great detail. Never, ever make the mistake of thinking something is only minuscule, insignificant, inconsequential, meaningless. It is those dvarim precisely that are the game changers that make all the difference in the world. The Ribbono Shel Olam is telling Avram Avinu in this week's parsha, Koyi Zarecha, take a look once again at Tesvav Hey. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, Koyi Zarecha, you are like a star in the sense you might think that something that you've done is perhaps not so meaningful or even inconsequential in comparison to what other people are doing. Who am I? But the closer that you get to a star, the more extraordinary and remarkable and overwhelming its size becomes. Zok the Divrei Chaim. That's the truth about every yid. And I hope you internalize the pshat that we just said. This is true about every yid. Sometimes we fail to realize, we think that the ones that seem so remarkable to shine, they've earned the title of a koicha, but not me. I'm a poshet yid. I'm a simple person. I don't know that anything I've done has been noticed or remarkable. That's the life of the star. When we look at it from this world, itaka seems to be small. Yes, that's true. Oy rabbeisai, but we're in close proximity and you look from up above. And up above, of course, means from Shemayim, from the Olam HaEmes, from the way the Ribbono Shel Olam calculates. Our calculation is not the calculation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. In our calculation, a star might look meaningless and small, but from up above, Habetna Shemayma, from Shemayim, from up above, Kucha Berichu's calculation, every yid is a star that's beyond comprehension. I want to quickly tell you, this past Shabbos, I shared a maisa, and I told you that it's the type of maisa that we should hear, Shabbos Shuva, Shabbos Hagadol. That's how extraordinary and remarkable it is. On Shabbos, I used some of the actual names. Now I will not. But I will tell you that I heard the story before Shabbos Kodesh straight from a dear friend of mine who was told the story by the Baldover, the person themselves. But if ever you needed a reminder that every yid is a koich of a star, don't view it from this world, because the calculation in Shemayim is not the same calculation. My friend shared with me how a certain Rav in a particular country, actually far from here, again, I'm not mentioning the particulars, but the story is 100% accurate. A certain Rav shared with my friend the following. His wife, meaning the wife of the Rav, had become very, very ill during COVID. I don't remember exactly the number of days she was in a coma, but it was a tremendous number. I don't remember if it was a month or 6 weeks or 2 months. And the doctors had all but given up hope on the wife of this Rav in this country. They felt it's a matter of time, there's nothing to do. There was a Yid, a Jew, an irreligious Jew, non-observant, working on becoming observant, working on becoming religious. In fact, this Rav that we're talking about, he was helping and prodding along this irreligious Jew, trying to get him on the path of becoming religious, and he was trying to be makar of him. This person, this irreligious Jew, found out about the wife of this rabbi, and he called up. He said, is there anything I could do? Baruch Hashem, he was a man of means. Can I get money? Could I help? Can I do anything? He asked the rabbi. And the rabbi thought for a moment, and he told this non-religious person, who, as I said a moment ago, was on the path to trying and striving to become higher. It's a very bleak situation. The doctors have given up hope. The ultimate doctor, though, the one in Shemayim, the Ribbono Shel Olam, can do anything. You know where you live. Let's call this man's name David. I'm making up the name. David, you know near where you live, there are three kvarim, three graves of great rabbis. I'd like you to go to the three kvarim and daven on behalf of my wife. That's what you could do for me, David. I'm telling you the mice exactly how it happened. David was all too happy to be able to do something on behalf of his rabbi who's helping him in his journey of trying to find Yiddishkeit. And for a few days in a row, David went, however he knew how to daven, whatever minimal amount he knew, but he spoke from his heart. He spoke to the Ribbono Shel Olam at the three graves of the great rabbis. And that's it. David did what he was asked to do. He poured his heart into it, mimamakim, and David continued with his life. After a few days, to the total astonishment of the doctors, beyond medical miracles, the wife came out of her coma, and this happened about 2 years ago. Now, just a few weeks ago, when this Rav met my dear friend, he was proud to say a couple years later, my wife, Baruch Hashem, had a complete refuah shalema. She's 100% well. And he told her how after a few days she came out of the coma, the doctors were beyond astonished. It's a miracle. They had never seen anything like it. And fast forward 2 years, she's Baruch Hashem, 100% fine. In fact, my friend just spent Yom Kippur and part of the Yom Tovim with this Rav and his wife. After a few months, when the wife was better and she was out of the hospital and now at the point where she was almost 100% better, the Rav said to my friend that he asked his wife, I never asked this to you, but when you were in the coma and I'm sure the doctors thought you were lost and you were hovering between this world and the next world, life and death, did you see anyone? Did you see anybody? Did you see, I guess he meant parents or Abayim or grandparents or Gedolim. Was there anything that you experienced? And his wife told him, you know, interesting you should ask. I didn't mention it because I didn't know what to make of it. But I'll be honest and tell you. There were a few days that I was totally lost. I know the doctors had given up hope. And I was being taken to the next world multiple times. And she told her husband, I don't know what to make of this, maybe you do. But every time that I was being led to the next world, I felt, you know that person that you're trying to be Makarev, that Jew who's not yet religious, David? I felt as if he was there and he was bringing me back to this world. Every time that I was being led away, I felt the presence of David. You know, she tells her husband, the one I'm talking about, the one that you're working on being Makarev. I felt his presence as if he was there, bringing me back and pulling me back and fighting for me to stay in this world time and time again for a few days. Every time I was being led away, I felt his presence as if David was there and he was just pulling me back and bringing me back and pulling me back. She told her husband, I don't know what to make of the dream or what happened to me when I was in the coma, but that answers your question. And only after she said that did the husband tell his wife, I'll tell you, during those few days that you're describing, David had actually reached out to me, and I told him to go to three Kvarim and to Davin. And apparently, Davin, he did. And it was during those few days that you felt the presence that he kept bringing you back and allowing the Ribbono Shel Olam Kodesh Baruch Hu to keep you in this world. Every Yid is a Kaichav. Sometimes a person might think that they are inconsequential or what they do is meaningless. Perhaps that person who was davening at the three Korah might have thought, who am I and what am I and how much will my prayers really contribute to the refuah of the wife of the rabbi who's trying to help me? And yet that's whose presence during those days she felt bringing her back to this world. That's mamish the pshat of the Heilige Divrei Chaim Zechusa Yogin Aleinu. Everyone is a koichav from Shamayim. Habet no hashamayma, because if you look from heaven view, if you look from up above, if you look from the Ribbono Shel Olam's view, there's nothing small, meaningless, or inconsequential about any Yid. Every Yid, it would do us good to remember this lesson of Koichov. What we can contribute, clearly indicated from this story, beyond what we could possibly even know, because our quantitative and qualitative calculation of a star is not the Ribbono Shel Olam's. Because Klapei Shamayim, Klapei Kodesh Baruch Hu, every star, every Yid, is enormous and remarkable, as clearly indicated by the power and koichos of that David davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam, please, Ribbono Shel Olam, keep the wife of the rabbi that's trying to help me in this world. That's mamash what the Divrei Chaim teaches us. And for one final pshat on the word koichav, I want to choose the pshat of Reb Meir Shapiro. I choose it for two reasons. The founder of the Daf HaYomi, the Lublina Rosh Hashiva, Zecher Tzadik L'Kodesh Levracha, number one, because it's one of my favorite pshatim. It's absolutely extraordinary. And number two, today was his yahrzeit. Today was the yahrzeit of Reb Meir Shapiro. Imagine saying a vort and concluding the shir with a vort from him as today was his yahrzeit. Mamish, mamish, rabbeisai, one of my favorite pshatim. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells Avraham Avinu in the pasuk we've spent the entire shir on, Habet no hashamayma usfar hakeichovim imtuchal. Imtucha lispor oisam, ko yezarecha, so shall your offspring, your children be. The poshut pshat is, as we've said until now, so shall your children be what? Like the stars. Bright like the stars. Brilliant, illuminating, extraordinary, remarkable like the stars. Says Reb Meir Shapiro, a different vart. When the Ribbono Shel Olam called Avraham Avinu to go and count the stars, what did Avraham Avinu do? He attempted to count the stars. But you can't count the stars. It's not humanly possible. It's not possible for anyone to count and know every number of the stars. You can't count all of the stars. Yet what did Avraham Avinu do? He tried. Even though it seemed like the request was insurmountable and not possible, what did he do? I'm going to try. I'm going to put in the effort. When the Ribbono Shel Olam saw Avraham Avinu putting in the effort and trying on something that in actuality was not possible to do, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Koyi Azarecha. That's the way Klal Yisrael is going to be. That's a Yiddish trait. Koyi, that trait, that quality of attempting the impossible, even when it seems insurmountable, but trying, putting in the effort and the attempt, that is a Yiddish quality. And so says Reb Meir Shapiro, when the Ribbono Shel Olam said, So shall your children be like this. It wasn't only a reference to the stars. It was a reference to what Avraham Avinu did. He attempted, he tried, even though it seemed to be beyond daunting, overwhelming, impossible to do. Yet what did Avraham Avinu do? He tried. He made the effort. He put in the attempt. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, Koi, that midah, that quality, that's a Yiddish quality that your offsprings will always have. And we should talk about Zaycha. To live up to all the definitions of a Koichav, to be able to fulfill bringing the unity within ourselves and within others, believing in the extraordinary power and how remarkable we all can be and are. We should also be zeicha to realize that although something seems daunting and overwhelming, but that is entrenched in our DNA, ko yezarecha, and may we be zeicha to live by all of the definitions and the interpretations of what it means that we're like a star, to be zeicha to see from our family and all of our generations that they all be kechavim, beautiful stars, shining stars, stars of unity. And may we merit the day when Yaakov Avinu will give that letter Vav back to Eliyahu HaNavi. And when that letter Vav is returned, we're taka zeicha to the Gula Shalema, b'mehera and b'yameinu.